Good evening. It's a full house tonight. Nice. And a new face. Welcome. Let's introduce ourselves around.
Bob.
And Angie. How did you hear about us, April?
From a friend at my partial hospitalization program.
Uh-huh. Ah, that's a new avenue. Welcome. Last week we talked about chanting and about the form, and I could hear it and see it today. How we did, it was pretty smooth. It was nice. So it will take a while, and not everybody was here last week, so not everybody knows what we said, but it's very pretty simple. About when to bow and when to face the altar. And I'll go over that last little bit just because it helps all of us, including me, to remember that when we're chanting, we line up and face each other as much as we can. And we hear each other's voices. So our voices, we bring up from our from the floor all the way up through our body, but we're aware, very aware of all the other voices around us. And then after the chanting and the bows, then at the end, the teacher does a little bow to the altar as a way of saying thank you, and because she's in line with it. Standing there at the very front, and then steps back, and then the teacher does a bow to the altar, and so does everybody else. So if you're over here, you turn and face the altar. If you're there, you turn and face the altar from there. And then the second bow, with the second bell, you turn and face each other and bow to each other while I'm bowing to my chair, which is always confusing a little bit. So, and then the third bow is when I turn around, and then we all bow, teacher and students all together. So that's the only thing that's just a little wonky, but it's not very wonky at all. So I think as time goes by, it's been feeling more and more comfortable, and it sounds nice. I brought some copies. We talked about these sutras, and I have a copy of the Enmei Juku Kanon Gyo, the sutra calling on the, well, let's see, what do they call it? 10-verse canon sutra of timeless life. It's calling on Avalokiteshvara, on compassion. It has the translation under it so that you've got the whole thing. Kanzeon at one with Buddha. With Buddha, I have my source. With Buddha, I'm in accord. Accord with Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. Joyful, pure, eternal being. Morning mind is Kanzeon. Evening mind is Kanzeon. Quickly, thoughts arise in mind. Thought after thought is one with mind. And then we chant it 8 times, very fast. Starting out slow. Kanzeon namu butsu yo butsu u in yo butsu u. And then you end up going, Kanzeon namu butsu yo butsu u in yo. Very fast. So it's a practice of concentration, of not thinking or doing anything else but just this one thing. And the chants of the others, the Dai Chin Shin Dharani that we chanted last week, we don't really know what those words mean, but I found a translation that I thought you might find very interesting. It's strange, as we were saying last week. It starts out, it's the Dharani of the Great Compassionate One. Adoration to the Triple Treasure, adoration to Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, who is the Great Compassionate One. Om to the one who performs a leap beyond all fears. Having adored him, may I enter into the heart of the blue-necked one known as the noble, adorable Avalokiteshvara, etc., etc. Nobody knows where the blue neck came from. Do you know?
Shiva is generally blue, and he holds all... There's a story about when the gods were, beginning of time, stirring the ocean of the world, and I won't go into it, but Shiva had to hold the poison in his throat. He couldn't swallow it. Destroy him and the whole world, and he couldn't bring it out in the world. So that, which means something, which we don't know what that means. That's how those stories go. But he holds it in his throat, so he's very well known to Dharlakanta in Sanskrit.
I see.
He's blue. So that sounds like it. And Shiva is the meditation. Shiva is sort of like Divine Father, Heavenly Father. He's the guy that's beyond it all, aware of it all.
Yes.
He has boons, great meditator. Manjushri means Shiva the Beautiful. I asked Tobin that one time, and he said, yeah.
Huh. Thank you. So everybody can have a copy if you're interested. I don't think we're going to emphasize this very much. I would like to chant the Heart Sutra, the Shingyo in Sino-Japanese. I don't know how often or how you all feel about it, but I think it's good practice to practice the Kanji Zai, not only in English, but in the way that is chanted in most Zen centers, and be familiar with both kinds. Of course, Zen centers chant in English also. I was just at the Berkeley, or the Oakland Bay Zen Center last Saturday, and they chant in English, but it's a different translation. So I was stumbling along, because they're all different. And all mean the same thing.
I have more copies of that, of the Heart Sutra.
Good. Good. That would be helpful.
I have it translated.
Oh. Super. So it has the syllables and then the words that go with it. Is that that old one? That it is, Wendy. Thank you. Now you can sort of see what those syllables mean. So are there questions about this? Fair night, Ron?
No, but I digress on the other one, the Kanze one. The Shasta Abbey had a very nice translation.
I looked in the liturgy book, but they didn't have it in that one. Yeah. Yeah. Shasta Abbey also has in their liturgy book, Samya, music that the Roshi composed herself. She was a musician first and an organist. And yes, They're hymns. They're actual hymns. And her own music. I'll bring it and show it to you. It's yeah.
Yeah, I looked up the Thich Nhat Hanh, the Heart Sutra, done in English.
Uh-huh.
And it had a, I think it has a pattern, but I couldn't figure it out. And, you know, it dips every few words.
Uh-huh. But they didn't sing it the way they sing it in Vietnamese.
I heard it in Vietnamese. Well, I can't remember.
Yeah, I'll have to look
but
that up.
It wasn't like lyrical. It was like this. And, and every once in a while it would dip a little bit less, maybe two or three of them. And at the end, it does a little riff.
Well, we're at the very edge of the beginning of all of this, so and it's translated into a whole nother life and culture from where it came from. It's been traveling east, although they always talk about Bodhidharma coming from the west. And I guess he goes to the east, and we're the east for them. So it's actually made it all the way around the world. But it's going to take us a couple of hundred years to thoroughly translate, to even be exposed to all the material that has gathered up in all the centuries that it's been alive in the world. But that's sort of by the way, because the reality, the life of it, is right here, right now, in us. So although this is a part of the practice, it's not essential to it. Someone called me today who was trying to figure out what practice was all about. She was wondering about Zazen and why we have all these rituals and things. And I reminded her that Koban said that Zazen is itself, it's not a religion. But from Zazen, a religion can be created. And most religions came from some kind of experience that we call practice or Zazen. And it's human nature to try to elaborate on what we experience because we're herd animals. We need to be together. We need to experience things together. And so once we get together, then of course we create ways that we can cooperate with each other. We don't do it just all by ourselves. We do it in order to feel community, be communing with others. So it's very tempting then to make it fancier and fancier. Somebody has a good idea, oh, why don't we do this and why don't we do that? When I first began to sit in Willits many, many years ago, the man in who was creating the place decided nothing except cushions, just sofas to sit on, nothing else. No altar, no chanting, no nothing. And I would go up every couple of months and check in and with everybody, and we would sit. And every time I went, something new had been added. First there was a table, just a table. And then there was a rock on the table, a really beautiful stone. And then there were flowers, and then, you know, and it just grew until it was a functioning zendo. Very, very simple, kind of primitive, but very sincere and very touching. I've always thought that's the best, when it comes from the Sangha and develops on its own rather than being put into place from the outside in some way. So this is also very satisfying that we're doing this. So are there questions about this, what we're doing and how we're doing it? Donna-Lynn?
I think it's related, maybe not. Did Papa ever do the well-being ceremony at the Chikoji or at other temples?
No, he did not. I don't know what he did in Europe, but he did not do the well-being ceremony. I know they do it at the drop of a hat in most of the Suzuki Roshi lineages. If there's anybody sick or dying, then immediately they begin chanting. So that's definitely a Zen practice, but he did not teach us that. He gave us bare bones and then let us, you know, do what we would with it.
I used to tell people that he gave you, or his students, four things, and I think I, in my bad memory now, I think I have the four things goofed up, but I usually say that tending the altar, Oryoki, chanting the Heart Sutra, and I want to say Zazen is the fourth one. But
well, that's for sure.
So I would.
And the Meal Sutra.
The Meal Sutra, so there's
all yeah.
There.
Yeah, and of course Zazen is the center of it. Without sitting, it's all nonsense. So it all comes from nonsense, from Zazen not knowing. Thank you, that's right.
Thank you.
Yes.
Is there, I mean, I know the Heart Sutra is very important, but how come we don't chant other stuff, even if it doesn't fit? Like the, you know, the ones that they kneel?
Mm-hmm.
They're so beautiful, and, you know, when we go to Sishin, some of us don't go as often, we're stumbling, and, you know, I'm wondering if there's any space in our sitting at Tuesday or Saturday that we can chant that, or the Metta Sutra, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it's just so speaks.
Yes.
For the real beginner, what do you call it, elementary students.
We're all elementary students.
So, I mean, it's nice. I enjoy it. I've been here for so long and have it memorized, and I know it's nice for us to be together and say it together, but it would be interesting to do other ones as well. Just
you know,
keep us on our toes.
Absolutely. In a lot of Zen centers and temples, they chant the Sandokai, the, how do they translate that? The,
harmony of differences.
Difference in similarity. Yes. Anyway, that's a sutra. It's short, and it can be done in English or in Japanese. There's the Mirror Sutra, which is often chanted, the one that we just finished studying. So, and there are a number of others. So we could factor those in, and especially on a long Saturday, we could do those. That would be a really good idea. And then we'd be exposed to those sounds and those expressions. Yeah, thank you. That's a really good idea. Anything else?
I have something to say. I apologize for the sound of my telephone right now.
That's kind of pretty.
thank you very much. I had a phone call, an emergency, from an 89-year-old friend of mine had fallen and had, I guess she has a fractured knee.
Yeah.
You know, she's at the hospital now, so it was, she had just fallen. And I've known her most of my life. She's a tough old Swede from San Francisco. But I was, I've had a lot of going on in my life recently, and so I just want to bear witness to the efficacy of our practice and why we practice. I had a sudden brush with death the day before the Japanese tsunami. I fell out of my my garage attic and somehow did not leave myself either dead or paraplegic or with noticeable injury. And I'm very thankful right now. And I needed to express that to all my Sangha members.
You're making
know how this practice has just made these experiences that are somewhat difficult, and that tsunami wave that swept so many beings in such a quick manner. I really sensed what that was like in my own existence. So I'm so grateful for all of you here, and for my teacher. And thank you.
Thank you, Jeffrey. We're grateful for you to bring this to us. Thank you for still being with us. Garage attic. Oh, my gosh. Live to tell the tale. I'm so glad. Yeah. Please be careful. Ron?
That reminded me of something I was thinking about last week. I know that a lot of the Buddhist groups in Japan, towns such as the San Jose Buddhist Church and so forth, they are raising money for tsunami victims. And I was wondering if you might, you have to be formal, but sort of informally, want to do something like that. I'm sure they have all kinds of committees or whatever set up.
The Soto Shu has a committee set up for that.
Yeah.
Its headquarters are in Los Angeles. I can get that address. If you all want to do that, easily do that.
And I'm going to donate through work.
Yes.
Because I have come from magic, which is always good.
Well, the Buddhist organizations are helping, especially the temples that were ruined. There were a lot of them that were destroyed up in the north. Not Koban's temple, not Koban's family temple or his old master. They were on the other side of the mountains from where the earthquake was. So they got shaken, but they're still okay. Yeah, that's a very good idea.
Maybe the Zendo, you could do something.
As floating Zendo. Yes. Yeah, I think it's a good idea. Would you be willing to organize that?
I don't have the full mailing list, but I could put together even maybe a written submittal or something like that.
Good, thank you. Super. Well, I wanted to talk a little bit tonight about what we're going to study next, because it's very interesting and wonderful and ancient and essential document that we can learn a lot from. Or maybe learn is the wrong word, because you really can't learn anything. You have to drop all your learning and all your wish to learn in order to enter this sutra. It's the Diamond Sutra, and if you look at this book, which I think is the most interesting book of them, you would think it was very, very long. But actually, it's not very long at all. This has two sutras in it. So you can see that the Diamond Sutra is very, very short. It's about 50 pages of very short paragraphs like that. So it's easily memorized, and often people all through the ages for thousands of years have memorized this and made it a kind of another heart sutra in a way. Something to carry around in your body wherever you go. This is a translation that's different from this, which is Thich Nhat Hanh, also very good, with a commentary. And this is Red Pine, who not only makes a commentary himself now and then, but quotes everybody through history on whatever subject it's talking about. So you end up with a treasury of Zen minds at work, you could say. And it opens things up wonderfully. So you can get this online, of course. You can just print out the Diamond Sutra in various translations if you like. And I think what I'd like to do is to use Red Pine and just read one chapter at a time. We did this once in a study group, and it worked really well. To just read one little paragraph, or sometimes it's two or three, but it's just a little, but it's very, you'll see. I won't even try to characterize it, but you'll see. You don't think it. You take it in. So I have, perhaps. No, I don't. I have more of Colbin's talks on chanting. If anybody wants those. I've got a few more here. And next week I will bring some material about the Diamond Sutra, and we'll begin to talk about it. So if you're interested, ahead of time, download it from the internet, or check out one of these books. And there are other books. Mu Song has a book. Mu Song was an American who was also a physicist, and he takes a physicist's point of view with this, which fits beautifully with the new physics. It's scientific, and I have it, actually, so some of you might be especially interested in that version of it. And I'm sure there are many others. There must be jillions of them. So find a way to enjoy it a bit, and then we'll plunge in next week. Questions about that? Well, it's just about 8 o'clock, as usual. Ellie?
Do we have time to do one chant, maybe the image of the Kanjo?
Absolutely. Will our drummer have time to do it? Yay. The Enmei Juku Kanangyo. What is it, 8 or 9 times?
At least 6 or 9.
9 times.
En me juko kenen yo.
Thank you, Ellie. Let's dedicate that to Jeffrey's friend. That's what it's for. Are there announcements tonight? Good. We'll have a 1-minute sit.